Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 313 of NWR Connectivity. I'm your host, John Reardon, and I'm joined, as I usually am, by Neil Ronahan.
Hey, we had some breaking news as we started to record.
We did. Yeah, that's it's a good fun. Thing you weren't ready earlier. We would have missed the breaking news.
We would have
missed
it. It would have been halfway through. Would have been breaking news as this, we were recording.
Granted, this doesn't come out until Friday, so it's not like we're super topical. It's going
to be old. Everybody's going
anyway.
To forget that three new Genesis games got added to Nintendo Switch Only or yes. Nintendo Switch Online.
Now, Neil, you know more. I'm going to just say you know more about these games than I do. I don't actually know if that's true. But I know that you've touched one of them.
Yeah. Before we started recording, I opened up Light Crusader because that game seemed it's like an action RPG by Treasure. That I was like, that seems neat. And it's like it looks like it's kind of somewhat of an archaic, like isometric action RPG. Yeah. Maybe in the same vein of like Beyond Oasis, if you're thinking Genesis wise. But I think Beyond Oasis is probably a better game.
Beyond Oasis is a bit more of a Zelda-y.
Yeah.
Game. This looks more RPG-ish.
Yeah, but I booted it up and then realized I wasn't going to play it and then quit out. But that's one of the games. Another one is Super Fantasy Zone, which I don't know if I've ever played that specific version. I do think the Sega Ages Fantasy Zone game that came out, I believe I reviewed that. It's fantastic. Fantasy Zone's just a really good arcade shooter. One that I just kind of like the rhythm of it a lot because it's when you're the wraparound screen where you're kind of shooting different bases and then going to fight bosses and stuff like that. It's pretty fun. I enjoy it. I can't speak specifically to this Genesis version, but hey, it's there. Check it out if you have the expansion pack. The third game, I'm glad I glanced at my phone right as we started recording because our news editor, Donald Terrio, has some interesting anecdotes for Alien Soldier, which is the third game, which is also made by Treasure. And it hasn't been re-released since the Wii Virtual Console. And this was a game that only came out on Sega Channel in North America. So Alien Soldier, I would unless it's like some weird weird spin-off thing that I am not aware of, it's a shooter. There's other games in that. Like, I think they made a new one on Wii, which is probably why the other one was on Wii Virtual Console.
Now you're I think Donald might be wrong.
Oh.
Because I've played Alien Soldier before and I didn't own it on Wii. We're going to call out Donald for being wrong in a private Slack message on our podcast. I think it was on that Genesis collection that came out on Switch.
Let's see. It didn't even come out until 1995 either, which is
That's
wild.
Yeah.
And it seems like it's in line with has some ideas of like from Gunstar Heroes.
Yes. Yeah. 100%. Yeah. It's on the Sega Genesis Classics collection.
Okay. It is cool that you have a game that back in the 90s was only accessible on a downloadable network in 1995. The fact that that's on Nintendo Switch Online is always super cool. And actually, the more that I kind of just glance at this Wikipedia. I might actually check this game out because Treasure games are pretty cool.
The best part about it is that the first thing you see when it boots up, you have a scrolling text thing and it starts with the year is 2015, which is always good.
Yeah,
it was, in retrospect, a good year.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe the last good year.
Yeah. Ever.
Not for Nintendo. Nintendo took advantage of the rest of the world being on fire. But I did enjoy. Did you see the stuff with like how the Super Nintendo Doom instruction manual?
Yes.
Specifically says that like March 15th, 2022 is when stuff goes down. But then John Romero quote tweeted that viral tweet and was like, Doom is timeless. No one it approved this, which I really appreciate.
I like to think that the Super Nintendo version of Doom is the only canon version of Doom. Like that's the definitive release of Doom.
I guarantee you that John Romero disagrees.
I think he's that guy. That guy also made Daikatana, so he lost all of his privilege to
made Empire of Sin with his family and his children.
Wasn't that did release on Switch, right?
I feel like the Switch port was kind of rough, which is part of the reason. It's on Game Pass, I think, and I have it downloaded on my Xbox, but that is definitely the type of game that I would rather play on Switch.
Has Ramiro ever released a solid functional game on a Nintendo platform?
Probably not.
Because was he involved at all with Doom 64?
I don't know. Doom 64 rules.
It does, though not so much on the N64. Like, I don't think Doom 64 really hit its stride until it got released on everything modern, and they turned the brightness up so you could see it.
I do remember, like, because my wife, when I met her, she had Doom 64 and N64, was like, let's play this. And I was like, I can't see anything. So she just turned up the brightness on her TV. She's like, this is what I had to do when I was younger.
Well, and that's, I reviewed the Switch version, and I had people in the comments telling me, like, oh, like, you can, it works fine on N64, you just have to play it on a CRT. And I'm like, dude, I have a CRT in my gaming setup. I've played it on a CRT. You still can't see it. If anything, it's worse. Like, so yeah, no, that I don't know what monitors they played it on when they designed it, or if like somebody just like spilled coffee on the brightness slider as the game was going gold and they were like, it's too late, we're shipping it.
So at this point, we are what, almost 5 months since Nintendo launched the expansion pack, and I mean, kind of like temperature check, like, so we had the, what was it was like 10 N64 games and like 15 Genesis games at launch. Mm-hmm. We have since had 8 more Genesis games being added in 2 different batches, and we've had, what, 4 N64 games added?
Yeah.
Because there was Paper Mario, Majora's Mask Banjo, and then F-Zero. How are we feeling? We've had, since the initial batch, 4 new N64 games, 8 new Genesis games.
I'm learning that I actually like the way they're doing the N64 better.
I love it.
Yeah, like I like it, makes this
everything
thing of,
like an event.
Yep, and it's been pretty consistently. Has it been every month or close to every month?
It was a little, because like it came out at the end of October. There wasn't anything in November.
Okay.
Because then Paper Mario was December, Banjo was January, Majora's was late February, and then F-Zero was like 2 weeks after it.
Yeah, but still a different month, so it counts. What's happened, though, like,
will we get Kirby Kirby 64 by the time Forgotten Land comes
out? did they shove F-Zero out just to get Kirby to land on time? What it's caused, though, is it's made me actually play a significant amount of each one of these games.
I still need to play a bunch of Win Back, like you.
Win Back is awesome, but like I played a significant chunk of Paper Mario over the holidays, which is not a game I have any interest in playing, but it was there, and like there wasn't, like, nothing else came out around that same time, so I'm like, yeah, I'll do Paper Mario. And then when Banjo came out, I just played the heck out of Banjo.
I kind of want to mess around with Banjo on the OLED, especially as I'm playing Majora's Mask, because Majora's Mask looks so good on the OLED.
Majora's Mask does have an art style that is really, really works well with the OLED.
Banjo I didn't touch because Banjo came out when I was reviewing Arceus. So I was like, cool, that came out. And then was like, I need to mainline this game for the weekend. And then never went back to it.
Yeah, whereas I kind of sank into a Banjo-Kazooie hole for like a couple weeks, where I was just like, I love this game. And I had played it before it as a kid, but it had been a long time. And so then I wound up like playing through it, or playing a bunch of it on different platforms, and made a video. And it was a Banjo filled time for me. It's a great game. I hope they never put Banjo-Tooie on this service. Like, just pretend it doesn't exist.
Yeah. But F-Zero X is fantastic. We need to try to get online with that, because and the first thing that I did was put in the code, so that way I have access to X-Cup already, because X-Cup is the right way to play that game.
You cheater.
I love the insanity of X-Cup. It's so good.
I will say that game, so it uses a pretty aggressive LOD system for like the detail on the vehicles, where once they get like a couple inches away from you, they're just little pyramids, and it's adorable, which at 240p looks great, and it runs at like somewhat 60 frames per second, and you can't tell, but at 720, It's just like I'm racing and my car is a car and I'm just racing a bunch of colorful pyramids around the track.
Yeah.
And the N64 LOD system is not kind to 720p screens.
Yeah. Like, I mean, the game still plays fantastically, but visually it is maybe not as impressive with modern technology.
But like, and even at the time, like it wasn't much of a looker, but it did so intentionally because that allowed it to run. It ran so smooth, especially for an N64 game. Like, yeah. I can't think of other 60 frames per second N64 games.
Yep.
Like, there just weren't
any. And the fact it could have 30 racers on the screen at one time.
Yep.
Damn good game.
Wonderful
if they Nintendo realized it had this cool racing franchise that they could do things with.
I will say it's difficult to play with the tiny little Joy-Con analog stick.
Yeah.
Because every little movement sure sends your car flying all over the place.
Yeah. I had a couple X-Cup deaths that happened from the analog stick not being the right level of precision. But yeah, we'll have to try online with that. I've not done that yet, but that is definitely something that sounds fun.
Yeah, I guess it will have already happened, I think, by the time this comes out. But I want to say Matt or Joe or both of them are doing some N64 online stuff this week, or maybe that's coming up. I don't remember. I remember I saw that on a schedule at one point.
Check out the Twitch channel.
Yeah, twitch.tv/Nintendo World Report.
Yeah.
Yeah, I plugged it.
Yeah, and then there's, with the expansion pack, we're also getting the Mario Kart booster stuff, which stay tuned for the back half of the episode where we talk more about Mario Kart. But I'm call me a homer, whatever. I think the expansion pack stuff has been fine.
If
I had one complaint, it's the fact that I think if you're not an expansion pack subscriber, Nintendo Switch Online sucks.
Yeah, but you're also paying way less for it.
Yeah, that is true, because they've added I mean, in your opinion, they've added nothing. They added Earthbound and Earthbound Beginnings since the expansion pack launched. That is like the only stuff that NSO members have really gotten.
I feel like even if you like Earthbound, that Earthbound Beginnings has to take away any gain that you got from getting Earthbound.
They just equaled like each other out.
Net zero. Nothing changed.
I did. It was funny watching Matt have to play Earthbound Beginnings.
Oh, yeah.
I
watched a good chunk of that because it's just fascinating. Like, I get why people would like Earthbound, but Earthbound Beginnings is a different story. Yeah. Yeah.
Yep. But it's like the same thing, but it's just worse.
The encounter rate seemed remarkable. Like, I would not make it long in that game. It makes a strong argument for the NES emulator on Switch needing a fast forward button.
that's the Genesis news and what Nintendo Switch Online is right now, which is, I mean, I think it's fine.
But speaking of Genesis, which is not a Nintendo owned system, in other non-Tendo news, Xbox had their ID at Xbox stream today, which was 2 hours long, which is too long, because they love their talking heads. At one point during the stream, one of the hosts said something to the effect of, "You wouldn't want to stream with just game trailers." And I was sitting there going, yes, ma'am, I would. Please. But one of the cool things that came out of it, Tunic, which is a Zelda-like about a small fox, hit Game Pass as a shadow drop, which is cool.
Although, here's the thing. The release date has been announced for literally months.
Yeah, but the fact I wasn't that it was paying like attention.
But the Game Pass part of it wasn't announced. But like, it was the kind of thing where it was announced for March 16th. They had this event. So it wasn't until like 1 p.m. Eastern time that it actually like came out and had a price.
I would love if they put it out at like 9 in the morning and sold it, and then at 1 p.m. it flipped over to Game Pass and everyone was like, oh, what the hell. But Neil, I know you were, so the reviews for this have been positive. I know you were feeling a little cautious about it, because some of the reviews were pointing out that it implemented some roguelike or roguelite elements on top of its Zelda stuff.
More that it has I think what I might have said in our staff Slack chat was, I'm too old for Fez bullshit. Which I think the game Fez is incredible. I replayed it back when it came out on Switch the other year, and like still think that game's incredible. But like, I don't have the tolerance for playing that game like I did when it came out on Xbox 10 years ago, where I like had a notepad and like tried to translate a language, and like was like talking to people online about it. Like I don't have that. Like I kind of, if a game looks like an old 2D Zelda game, I kind of just want to romp through a 2D Zelda game.
Yeah. Yeah, and I will say, like, I don't get the... I haven't really encountered anything that I would consider a substantial puzzle so far. It's funny that the language thing is interesting, because this game does a weird thing where most of, like, the... Like, when you go to pick... So early on, you pick up a key, and it pops up a text box that's just in another language. Like, it's just garbly symbols that you don't know what they mean, and it just says okay, and you go okay, and that's like most of the text in the game outside of a few key phrases will just be that. I have only played like the first half hour, 45 minutes. I don't know if that becomes important later, but at the moment it just kind of feels like, I guess at best, slightly charming, but at worst, like, why are you doing this? Because it's also one of the cool things about the game is that as you're going through, it is like a kind of a top-down Zelda-style format. And as you're exploring, you'll find these little pieces of paper that are pieces of the game's instruction manual. And so then they come up as a, like, Super Nintendo, like, it looks very Link to the Past-style artwork. And you open them up and it has the instructions for the game, most of which are written in this fake language, except for key phrases that allow you to figure out what it's telling you to do.
Yeah.
Which is weird, but like whatever. And it, most of the time it's fine. Occasionally you'll get like an item description will just be a wall of nonsense text with two tiny phrases in it. And my brain has trouble finding the key phrases that I need to know what a thing is, which I don't like. But I like the concept of, like, you're literally piecing together the manual. And for most of the time I was playing, I was like, man, I really wish this game had a map. Like, this is a big world to have, to not have a map. And then a little ways in, I picked up a piece of the manual and it was the map, was just one of the pages toward the end of the manual. I was like, oh, okay, cool. I have a map now. And I found a dungeon map that way too, for a dungeon I haven't been to yet. So there's a lot of cool concepts in this. I mentioned to Neil before we started recording that when this game is trying to be Zelda, I think it's really good. And I'm having a great time with that. The problem is that it also tries to introduce some roguelite elements that, while not inherently bad, I don't really feel add anything or fit with the rest of the game design. Like, this does not feel like a game designed to be like excruciatingly difficult and punishing. So why, when I go to a checkpoint to restore my health, does it respawn all the enemies? Like, they aren't hard enemies. Like, I can beat them all without taking damage. That's fine. Why are you respawning them when that's not what kind of game this is? And same with, like, you don't really get health pickups like by killing enemies. You have like potions that refill at checkpoints and you can do things to get more potions. But why? A lot of that stuff feels like it's there because, like, this is what the cool kids are doing and not because it benefits the actual design of the game. Maybe my opinion on that will change as I play more of it. Like I said, I am very early in this game. And I do want to keep playing it, but there does seem to be sort of a disconnect between what the game is successfully being and what weird extra elements it has tacked on top that don't really feel like they need to be there.
Yeah. Yeah. That's kind of what I'm going to, like, I'll definitely download this. But I mean, after my experience with the demo, it seems like everything that I've seen is just that, like, oh, you know, that feeling where you're like, I think I like a lot about this game, but not all of it. That might hold true, but I'll give it a whirl. Just because I do, it does look really nice.
And it's beautiful, the music's cool.
Nintendo should make it more 2D Zeldas. That's my takeaway.
Yeah. I will say, so this is a what's the word? It's an orthographic perspective, and like a truly orthographic perspective, where I don't just mean top down, but like it's 3D, and yet things closer to you don't appear bigger. And there is no perspective change at all as the camera moves, which means that I have found some times where like a path that I don't think is supposed to be a secret is kind of awkwardly obscured because you can't move the camera. Or an enemy winds up being like behind a wall where I couldn't see them. And I don't think that's the game annoying. Was putting them there as like a surprise. I think they just happened to stand there.
Yeah.
So it looks nice, but I kind of wish they did a thing like Mario 3D World did a really good job with this, where it's like a locked off camera, but you can kind of scooch it a little bit in either direction if you just need to peek around something. And that would definitely benefit this game quite a bit. But it's pretty. I'm enjoying it. You pointed out also, it has some nice accessibility options where you can give yourself like infinite stamina or infinite health. So if any of those like more roguelite elements really start to bother you, you can just be like, screw it and just turn that off. It's one of those things where it's like, clearly that's not how the designers probably intended you to play the game initially, but I think it kind of speaks to like it to me that reads as them being confident enough in the rest of their game, aka like the more Zelda elements of their game, that they feel like they don't need that for you to be able to enjoy the game. Which, if you're feeling like that as a game designer, I would say that part that you feel okay with people totally cutting out, maybe that doesn't need to be there. But that's just me. I'm not a game designer.
I mean, accessibility is nice, John.
Accessibility is nice. I'm just saying, at some point, maybe the thing that you needed to make accessible just wasn't even necessary in the first place. The other thing that I have been messing around with that is, for now, Nintendo, though it is going to get there.
A matter of time. I can't wait to see how this game will even run on Switch.
This could be a beautiful disaster. No Man's Sky is coming to Switch, I believe, this summer. We don't have a date yet,
that's what they said.
It's this summer at some point. Which I've always thought of as a game that just, that feels like a mistake. that there's no way this can actually
it's a jerk.
Yep. But then I had the thought the other night of like, well, they did get this running on PlayStation VR, and it runs on, like, I've played it on the base PS4, which is the weakest possible system to play it on with VR. And so I decided, you know what, I want to boot it up in that, because it's been a long time since I've played it in VR, because I've pretty much switched to playing the Xbox Series X version at this point. And I just want to like kind of compare that mentally with that trailer that we saw. And I think like that is going to be, when this game comes out, when we can put them side by side, I think that's going to be the most interesting point of comparison, because it's interesting how the PS4, despite being way more powerful than a Switch, once it has to render the game twice and maintain this high frame rate, then you do start to get the PS4 being at a pretty close power level to something like the Switch. And so I think that, and I think Sean Murray's even referenced before that a lot of the adjustments they made for the PlayStation VR version could potentially work in a Switch version. He said that before they announced it, obviously, like years before. So it was fun to mess around. I do hope that the Switch version looks a little better than the VR version, because I do think that the VR release is at a level of like visual blurriness that arguably affects the playability of the game. There's a reason why I haven't just defaulted to playing the game in VR since it came out. But I will also say that I think, just from, you know, grabbing some screen captures of the VR version and looking at those versus a Switch trailer. Obviously, in a game like this, it's very hard to get perfect like for like footage. But at a glance, I think the Switch version looks potentially better than the VR release. So I think there is hope there that could actually work, which also then got me thinking about what my insane comparison setup is going to have to be for that game, because since everything is procedurally generated and everybody starts on different planets, what I'm going to have to do is use crossplay to get like the Series X, the PS4 in VR, and the Switch all in a party together, and then just stand all three people next to each other to get comparison footage, which is going to be the dumbest but also like the funnest comparison I've ever done, is trying to play this game three times, one of them where I will have a headset so I cannot see the other two versions. So we'll see how this goes. But yeah, I'm excited for the Switch version of that game. I actually hadn't played it at all in a while since they did the last couple updates, and was surprised when I booted up that it actually has some nice visual flair that it didn't last time I was there. So it's cool. It's fun to see. And I believe the Switch version will be feature complete with whatever the current update is when the Switch version comes out. So fingers crossed for that.
It'll be interesting to see.
Yeah. Neil, you have a game that I think you talked positively about, but maybe hasn't gone so well since launch.
Yeah. So if you remember from last week when Jordan was here, Jordan and I were like whimsically talking about how like, man, Chocobo GP, that seems like it's going to be a fun game to play. Could go for some racing. That the Chocobo GP mode in the game where 64 racers, you know, you split it up into 8 different races and whittle it down, where you go from 32 to 16 to 8. And then you have a winner. It seemed like it might be a cool mode. And guess what? The lone bright spot out of playing Chocobo GP after it came out on March 10th is that, hey, you know what? That mode's pretty cool. Like, it's fun to do that a couple times. Unfortunately, there is a premium prize pass that you have to pay real money for. And the only way to level up this premium prize pass, which is also, by the way, you have to level this up to level 60 to unlock the playable character Cloud of Final Fantasy VII fame. So you have to pay money and then play one mode over and over and over and over and over again to unlock Cloud.
So it's not that paying money unlocks him. It's that paying money grants you the honor.
So there's multiple things here, and okay, there's multiple currencies. So there's a story mode that I did talk about last week. The story mode is really cute. If you're looking from a pure value perspective, maybe $50 is a little much for what the game offers, but like that story mode is real cute, really enjoyable. Like overall, like solid racing mechanics, like totally fine kart racer. Mm-hmm. Had a good time with that part of it. And when you play that single player mode, you unlock like tickets that then those tickets can unlock stuff in the store. There's some characters that you like when you go through the story, you unlock characters that just like you can access right away, or you unlock characters in the store that then you need to get tickets by playing the story mode and other modes locally to then buy them from the in-game shop. That's no money, no real money. Then there are two other currencies. So there's Mithril, which that's what you have to pay money for. Because the online was a little bit of a disaster at launch, and also they had a you get 800 free Mithril, which is the price of the basic premium prize pass. You can get, I guess, like you get like, it's over 1,000 Mithril, more than that. I think it's like because they gave you, like, there was a 500 Mithril apology for the online being wonky on the first day.
We call that a bribe.
Yeah, but the Mithril is more or less, it is 100 Mithril is a dollar. Okay. Of course, if in typical like free to play fashion, if like you were to buy like, you know, $100 worth of Mithril, you would get like an extra $20 of Mithril or whatever.
Sure.
But you could kind of look at it at face value as approximately if you wanted to buy that basic prize pass in which you need to level it up to level 60 to get Cloud, that would be $8 approximately. You can also unlock Cloud right away by spending I believe it's 2,400 mithril, you know, the equivalent of like 20, 25 bucks. And just get the prize pass and then you get Cloud right away. You also, as you do these races, you get coins, you get gil, as it's called in Final Fantasy parlance, and those are used to buy other unlockables. You can only get these things, only get this currency from Chocobo GP, as far as I can tell. That is how you unlock Squall from Final Fantasy VIII, the other playable character that is tied to this season and this prize pass. I don't think you can access Squall if you don't pay for the prize pass. But he's available, and that's actually kind of doable. Like, that's not as absurd as Cloud, which I wound up, I played like a couple hours of Chocobo GP until I just got bored. And I was at like level 10, 15, something like that. So I kind of estimate that I probably would have had to play something like minimum 5 hours of Chocobo GP to get to level 60. And that's okay. Probably conservative. They did announce, they did have like a lengthy, like, here's what we're doing to fix things, which they didn't really, like, I read through it all. And I'm like, I have zero interest in going back to this game, but apparently they are going to quicken the level up process for the prize pass. But it's just such a downer because, like, the game's not bad. It's just the fact that they are charged. This game is, I believe, $50 or regional equivalent. And then they have these free to play mechanics on top of it. It's just nonsense. Like, what the hell? Like, it's a totally fine game. And I did laugh because I realized that this is the monkey's paw that I desired. When I talk about how I want Mario Kart to have more single player content and kind of have more to bring me back. And Chocobo GP is an example of how to do that super, super wrong. Once again, we'll give credit where credit's due. The story mode is adorable. I wish Mario Kart had a story mode like Chocobo GP has a story mode. But everything with the Chocobo GP mode, like, it's a cool mode that, like, the monetization that they put into it just completely ruins it. Like, I uninstalled this game from my Switch. I will likely never play it again. And I mean, you can listen to me last week. I was pretty positive on it. And it's just a bummer because it's a cool game and they ruined it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's such a, I mean, honestly, free to play is such a razor thin line to walk as far as being, you know, like, I get that you want to make money, obviously, but it's a very thin line to walk as far as what goes too far into being predatory. Like, you have I think stuff like Halo Infinite is an example of a game doing it pretty well. They still have had issues with, like, their leveling up system, which they've addressed. But as far as, like, can you play that game without putting money into it? Totally. Like, you won't be disadvantaged. Like, you'll still be unlocking stuff. That's totally fine. If you do want to get the season pass, like, that stuff hangs around forever. It doesn't become unavailable when the season pass ends, which I don't know if Chocobo GP will be doing that or not.
So they said, I think some of the clarification that they offered is that, like, Cloud and Squall are tied to this season pass, which I believe ends sometime in May. But they might come back in other ways, and they might, and okay, for new players, they might rerun season content. I don't care.
Yeah. Cause you have to, like, if you're gonna extort money out of people, you have to also treat them nicely to make them want to give you that money.
The next like season pass is just like, guess what? You get Surge and Kid from Chrono Cross. Like, no, I'm not playing it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's too bad. Were you able to quickly fill up a lobby?
Yes, but I think they might have been doing computer bots? Players. Yeah, okay. I think bots were put in there, which I will say, and it's something that, like, I think is a knock against, like, every online kart racer, is I have this problem in Mario Kart where, really, I mean, every online kart racer is kind of difficult to tell whether or not you're racing against computers or real players.
I suppose you
can tell sometimes, and like it is evident, like especially like playing with friends, you can kind of tell, but like it is like you could just, it's so easy to just be like, oh, we just gave that, you know, a believably net handily name, and it's a computer player, and like that's the AI. Like it's just the way that racing games are a little bit more like it's solitary experience despite competing against other people.
Yeah, well, that's unfortunate. But yeah, so let's talk. So speaking of things that are unfortunate, the Mario Kart franchise continues to exist. we had a thought with the Mario Kart Booster Pack.
Mario Kart 8 Deluxe 1. Booster Course Pass 1.
Thank you. Yeah, with that hitting on Friday. That I don't honestly know if that was the real name or not.
I think it is.
I accept it.
I know it's Booster Course. I know, like that's what it is. Or like the Booster Pass or whatever. I don't know. Let's bring Booster from Super Mario RPG into this. Damn it.
Was that a character in Super Mario RPG?
Yeah, he was basically like crappy Wario. Because it was before Wario was firmly in the Mario canon. Because I guess like, well, I think like Wario Land 1 might have been out by the time like Super Mario RPG hit. So like definitely like not, that was happening on Game Boy. No one paid attention to that.
Those were all fake Marios.
Like I picture like they're working on Super Mario RPG and they're like, they describe Booster and there's like one guy who's like, you mean like Wario? And everybody's just like, yo, Brad, you're making up names. That's not a real character.
I assume that's what happened in the Kenobi writer room when somebody was like, we could bring back Maul.
Yeah. And
Filoni's in the corner like, but just shut like up, Dave.
Convulsing. Like, he's dead. I killed him.
We killed him. Yeah. So with all that in mind, we thought that we would quickly go through the Mario Kart series and try to come up with a top three, not just individually, but that we have to agree
with
on a top three. Neil, famously known for having bad takes on Mario Kart,
I guess,
and me, famously known for not having good taste in video games. This should be easy.
Should be easy, right?
Yeah. Mario Kart Super Circuit number one.
No.
So let's go through.
Yeah, let's start at the top. So yeah, 1992. I mean, I guess technically there's like Famicom GP Rally or whatever, but that's,
if we start counting that Mario stuff, Kart. Then we have to count like the arcade games, and that's just going to get difficult. And like the ride at Universal, and
Oh God, I wanna go on that ride. I heard okay. Like it's fine.
Like the only ride in the park. So
yeah, they have like, that. Like you ride a Yoshi. Like that's it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So 1992, Super Mario Kart hits Super Nintendo. I feel pretty confident this is not going to be in our top three, but it started one of the best selling series of all time. Give credit where credit's due for what it did for kart racers in general. Cool mode, 7 effects. The battle mode was a really good one-on-one, like, you know, tense affair.
Mm-hmm.
But not a game. Whenever I booted it up on like Virtual Console or Super Nintendo Classic, it's usually to like do a race or two, be like, that's cute, and then I close it.
Do you prefer Super Mario Kart or F-Zero for your Mode 7 racer of choice?
Single player F-Zero.
Okay. Yeah, see, I would definitely go for Mario Kart.
Yeah. For me it's that if I was booting up the Super Nintendo Classic with a friend and being like, what are we going to play multiplayer? Like, I'd probably crack open Super Mario Kart. That might be a game we'd play. But I think F-Zero, the Super Nintendo one, just like as a fun little like time trial game, I enjoy that game a lot.
Yeah, I do. I think Super Mario Kart has good, it has good course design.
Yeah.
I do think
a lot of those courses have held up.
Yeah. I mean, some of them are in Mario Kart 8.
Yeah.
They added some hills, but like, yeah, a lot of, I think it's impressive how fully fleshed out the franchise was by the first game, in a lot of ways.
Yeah. And I do, And I mean, Mario Kart Tour, which, I mean, do we just put it as a lock on the top three? I don't know. I did. I do not actually have the Super Nintendo Donkey Kong Jr. unlocked, but in one of the dailies, I raced as it, and it's wonderful. It's so good.
They should have made the music. Part the music of the booster really good. Pack course.
Yeah, like I love the look of the Super Nintendo Super Mario Kart, the Mario and the Donkey Kong sprite that they have in Tour, and the fact that like you just get what it's kind of like tied to whatever music, whatever Super Nintendo music is for that. Like I was racing like a Bowser, like Bowser Lava Course or whatever, so I had the Super Nintendo, you know, Bowser Castle music.
Yeah, man. Good game. I wish they just put Tour on Switch. Make it free to play. Like, just port the cell phone game.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean, clean up the controls, but we'll
get
there.
Even if I had to use touch control, I don't know. I just, it'd be nice.
I love Tour. I love Tour so much.
Yeah.
A game that I love nostalgically is 1996 or 1997. I think the list that I'm looking at, I think it came out in 96 in Japan. But it's a 97 game in the West, or at least in North America.
Mario took a Kart long 64. Time to translate all of the complex dialogue.
Yeah, and I know this because I got it for my birthday around right when it came out in March 97. Was it March 97 or was it March 98? I don't know. Whatever. Mario Kart 64. I played a ton of this game. I think it's aged pretty terribly. I would personally put it above Super Mario Kart, but I think that margin is a lot slimmer. And
yeah, I think I have more nostalgia for Super Mario Kart than I do for I even when Mario Kart 64 came out, I think even at that point I preferred the Super Nintendo one.
I think my one thing for Mario Kart 64, and actually, you know what, for the sake of this, I don't think either are making the top three, but for right now we'll jot it in as Super Mario Kart being above Mario Kart 64. Because okay. I don't think I'll fight that too hard. Because
not
I think,
a hill to die on.
I mean, well, there's a couple hills to die on, like in Wario Stadium.
I was going to say the advantage of Super Mario Kart is that there are no hills and therefore no hills to die on.
Yep. Mario Kart 64's multiplayer, like back in the day, was incredible. Sure. And I think part of the reason why I won't really fight too hard is that it has been accessible as an online multiplayer game since October, and I have played it once. I was like, that was fun, and then have not gone back to it. I think the battle mode's really fun. Like, it's just memories of playing that on N64 back in like 1999 is amazing.
I played it once online with, I think, Alex DeFreitas and Justin Berube, and Justin immediately cheated, I was like, yeah, fuck this game.
Next up is 2001's Mario Kart Super Circuit. I believe this was made by Intelligent Systems on the Game Boy Advance, just because I think they were very good at making things work on the Game Boy Advance. Yeah,
that's why it's the only tactical turn-based Mario Kart.
Yeah. I'll give credit for its multiplayer. I played a lot of the single cart where you like race as a Shy Guy in that. But I think this game sucks.
Maybe this is where my liking of Super Mario Kart over Mario Kart 64 is functioning into why I don't totally get the hate for Super Circuit, because
it is very, it's like a sequel to Super Mario Kart.
It is just more so for me at the time. I was like, this is better than the Mario Kart 64. I do think it's really interesting on a technical level that it does essentially mode 7. Though it's not, you know, literally mode 7 on Game Boy Advance, but it does that effect, but it reuses all of the sprites from Mario Kart 64, just crunched down to the color or the bit depth of the Game Boy Advance. So it's this weird, it's like you're playing Super Mario Kart, but the characters all look like Mario Kart 64. And it just a weird culmination of things. But yeah, I like this game. I think that once again, I think the track designs in it are really good. A bunch of these have shown back up in
Sky Garden. Mario Kart 8 recently came to Mario Kart Tour. That's a good course. I think that's from Super Circuit.
Yep, that and Cheeseland, Ribbon Road. Like, there's a bunch of good courses in this that have come back. And yeah, I think if you're a weirdo who wants more Super Mario Kart and not Mario Kart 64, you want that alternate flat Mario Kart timeline, then I think there's things to be. Yeah, I think there's things to be enjoyed here. But I also think I might just like. I think I've realized that I just like handheld Mario Kart.
Yeah, that's fair. I do. I think the nail in the coffin for me with Super Circuit is Wii U Virtual Console. This is available. That's the last time I played it. It also Konami Crazy Racers is also on Wii U Virtual Console. And I played both of them, and I think Konami Crazy Racers is better.
I know I've played Konami Crazy Racers because I know the name, but I don't remember it.
It was another like launch era GBA game that I don't know which one came out first, but I think that they both came out in 2001.
Oh, it has the bit. Okay, I remember this game.
Next up, 2003's Mario Kart and Double Dash. This game friggin' rules. I love it.
I would have no. This is the first one of the ones that we've gone through where if it ended up on the top three, I'd be okay with it.
Yeah.
I realize it has a very different feel to other Mario Karts.
It's basically a different team.
Yeah. It does not feel like Mario Kart. I think it feels better. I like your car feels like it actually sticks to the road, not just kind of like loosely slides around on top of it. Almost like the original basis for these games was floating spaceships, not cars. I think it's the one Mario Kart that really feels like solid. Like I just love the way the cars handle. The downside of that is whenever they bring when they brought these courses to Mario Kart 8 or Mario Kart Tour, where the cars don't handle like that, they're borderline impossible to play.
Yeah,
because the turns you just can't do like you could in Double Dash. But I think as far as like the Mario Kart games that have no real progression system beyond doing Grand Prix, like this might be the peak of those for me.
It still had, and it's been a while since I've kind of like played it from you know, like an empty save file, so to speak. It does have some pretty cool unlockables. Like I know there's
character unlocks, yeah. But I mean like Mario Kart 8 had character unlocks as long as you played it on Wii U.
Yeah. But like even it, so, and this is the thing that I feel like either people misconstrue or something like that. Whenever I as far as my critique on Mario Kart 8 is that I got specifically into this with a game that we'll get to talking to in a little bit. But like when it's like, oh, if you get, gold 3 stars on this Grand Prix, you unlock, Dry Bowser or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like having that specific I have a goal.
Yes.
I'm gonna go get that specific character, as opposed to Mario Kart 8 where it's just like, I don't know, man, just like keep on getting coins.
Yep. Every 100 coins you get to spin the wheel. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
And like you get a new guy, I guess. And like it's not like that is definitely like a dopamine hit in a different way, but I did like the specific I'm working towards a goal to get a thing. As opposed to, I am aimlessly playing this game and will eventually unlock everything through sheer attrition.
Yeah, as opposed to the things you've unlocked being a literal sign of the exact accomplishments
you've had.
It's like an achievement system that matters.
Yep. Yeah. It's like I have this trophy of PD Piranha because I did this thing in the game. As opposed to like, I got PD Piranha because the first 10 coins that I got unlocked PD Piranha.
Double
Dash, I think, is at the top of the bullet right now. Did you ever play LAN or online?
No. Did you?
No. Okay. I always wanted to. I never had a broadband adapter. I occasionally looked into trying to see if anybody, like friends, had wanted to try Warp Pipe or whatever. But man, I had a ton of fun with this game, and I think the two racer concept, one, like playing that in co-op is just madness, and I love it.
Like
it's so good. And also just as you're playing, like there is strategy to it. It deepens it a little, just enough.
Yep. Yeah. It is a concept that I would love for them to go back to, but I can't imagine they would ever go back to. Because I think the last thing they want to do is make Mario Kart complicated.
Yeah. Mario Kart DS 2005.
This is my favorite Mario Kart. I love this one. This is if I weren't working with you, this would be my number one.
All right.
I don't know.
I'm going to put it in line with Double Dash.
Okay.
And with that, basically taking off 64 and Super Circuit, Super Mario Kart can live at least for another game. because I think it's like for me, it's that I didn't get as much online out of this. But as far as the fact that it has the mission mode, and like it has good local play, and the online before, I mean, snaking kind of ruined it like day one.
I still had a good time.
Yeah, like the online worked.
Yep. Yep. The DS was a weird era of online working, in a way that it doesn't seem to still work.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I'm not sure what happened, given what we know about Nintendo having no plan in place for the DS's online. Like, somehow there are a lot of examples of it just working really well.
It's probably because, like, people were just able to do it. And there was no one to be like, well, what if we did this differently?
There was
like,
no, NST yeah, was there's like, no quick, structure put involved.
Put in the website for Hunters. Let's go.
Yeah, Hunters, to this day, is the best online implementation Nintendo has ever had. It had voice chat in-game on Nintendo DS. Like, what? Oh, man. But yeah, no matter, like, I played a ton of the online. I loved it. The single player is, I think it's the best single player Mario Kart ever single player, has.
I have a feeling DS is probably going to be at the top of our list. The single player is the difference between Double Dash and DS for me.
It also, like, DS also has my favorite original courses of any.
What Mario are some Kart. Of the good ones from that one?
Delfino, whatever the Delfino Streets one is. I like Waluigi course. Pinball, though I think that's up for debate for some people.
Waluigi Pinball is like a beautiful crap hole.
Yeah.
Like, it is a very memorable course that I enjoy racing on, but also, like, screw it.
Yeah. The Cheap Beach that's in Mario Kart 8, I believe, was originally from Mario Kart DS. There's a really good Bowser's Castle.
The Luigi's Mansion one is fun.
It was also the first time that there was a, like, really large scale battle mode where you had big teams full of comms, and you could make teams instead of have it be free for all. And it really did a lot to, like, expand on what battle mode could be, which I thought was great.
I think Shroom Ridge might be coming to Mario Kart 8 Deluxe.
I think you're right.
Yeah.
Was that originally a DS one? I'm trying to remember.
Okay. Yeah, Shroom Ridge. Yeah. I'm just looking at a list. DK Pass is pretty. TikTok.
Oh, DK
Clock
Pass
is
great. Yeah.
Airship Fortress. Yeah. That's a good. Yeah. DS rules.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just you. And the thing, and we'll get to this in a second, but some of the Mario Karts, when you take away the online component, like, that really takes away a huge part of them. Mario Kart DS, like, yes, online was fun, but you don't really lose features taking it away.
And also, DS is the first one that has the Retro Cups.
Yes. Yeah.
Or I guess Super Circuit technically had some.
I don't remember
that. But in the way that the series kind of just, like, kept on churning through it.
DS did the thing where it was like four new, four retro, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Man, DS is good. That's one that I got that on the Wii U Virtual. Like, I played through it several times on DS from my game getting deleted. And when it came out on the Wii U Virtual Console, I was like, I'll just play through this again. Because of the Wii U, like, the DS Virtual Console games, it plays really well as a Wii U game. Because it is essentially set up the exact same way as Mario Kart 8. So it feels designed to be played on the Wii U. And it's awesome.
So next game, 2008's Mario Kart Wii. I think if I were to look at what Mario Kart game I had the most fun with, Mario Kart Wii would be my number one.
This is the game that I think we're divisive on.
Yeah.
I really dislike Mario Kart Wii.
I do think so. And I have multiple reasons for why. I thought the online, because I think this is the first one where they expanded it to 12 for online.
I think you're right. Yeah.
And that was fun. The online's good. And it also helped that I was in college at the time, and mm-hmm. I had three friends in college that we would get together and just like aggressively play competitive Mario Kart, and then also go online and aggressively play competitive Mario Kart. I liked some. This is when they and I could definitely hear an argument for making mini turboing more challenging, as it was in every game prior to this. But this is when they simplified it, where you're just holding the button into the curve as opposed to having to like throttle the analog stick back and forth.
Oh, I love the feeling of throttling the analog stick.
It's good.
It's satisfying to like manage your drift.
Yeah, yeah. But this is when they simplified it. I did like they added motorcycles there, and I like the little boost that you could get from that. You know, tricks off of jumps to get boost that way. Mm-hmm. Just a lot of little things that added up to make it like just a really thrilling game to do. Got deep into. I think I like got every time trial, like beat every staff ghost or whatever. This is where having that carrot of like, oh, I can unlock Funky Kong or Dry Bowser, like really, really got me to. Yeah.
Oh, I was just going to say that I had forgotten that Funky Kong was in this game, and that is a strong argument for its quality.
it's one of those things that like Mario Kart 8, like I will not knock its roster, but it like it does have eight friggin' Koopa kids.
Well, you can't just invite some of them, Neil.
Yeah, yeah, it's just only Wendy. Everybody else can go home. But like you do, like I feel like there was a lot of variety in some of the other ones, where if you probably do look at it, like it's, you know, Mario Kart 8's assortment of racers is probably the most varied.
And like on an actual like gameplay level, I'm pretty sure there are only three in any Mario Kart. Yeah, like there's a light, heavy, and a medium, and they're all just in that category.
But, yeah.
But the variety of Wii is really good.
I don't think kart parts were overall a great addition to the series, so I kind of like when it was like specifically like karts as opposed to having more to it.
I'm conflicted because I like kart parts. I just don't like the way in it's which implemented. They're earned.
Yeah.
I like the I really like the concept of being able to like build the exact cart that I want.
Yeah, build a rig.
And like going into like 200cc, like, okay, I need, that's a different car than I would use for 150cc. Yep. Like, I really find that satisfying. But because some of those car parts are objectively better than others, having them be random is a problem, which we'll get to, I suppose.
And then Mario Kart Wii, also the motion controls, I felt like, you know, just opened up who could play it. And as an example for that, like my mom got weirdly into Mario Kart Wii.
Yeah. Grandpa 100%ed this game, like got all of like the highest rankings on every GP and everything.
He was that son of a bitch online. No.
Yep. I don't know if he ever played online or if he just played single player.
He probably would have wrecked fools if he was 100%ing it.
He probably didn't know his Wii could connect to the internet, to be honest.
And although all of it's inaccessible now, it did have missions online.
Yeah, and that I do feel like the single player was good, but that's the part that would lower it below DS for me, is I think DS holds up better now than Mario Kart Wii does, where they might have been more in line in their prime.
So at least for now, where would you put Mario Kart Wii?
Let's see. So we have
DS is number one,
and then Double Dash is currently our number two.
And Super Mario Kart is our number three.
I can give you Mario Kart Wii can be in the top three. I still think I'd put it below Double Dash, but like I could hear an argument for that. But I'm definitely okay with it being in the top three.
Okay, so I'll leave that for now. Mario Kart 7, it's okay.
I have a lot of affinity for this one, but I think it's just once again because I like playing Mario Kart on a handheld.
Yeah. Look, the 3D effects are cool.
They're fine. I think the gyroscope stuff is nice. You can play it in first person for some reason, which is cool.
Forgot about that.
Yeah, and like play it with motion controls in first, like that I think is neat. Good courses. Honestly, like Mario Kart 7 is a lot like Mario Kart 8.
Yeah, but worse.
I don't know that I could call it worse. I think I would just call it kind of equal. And like for me personally, it's better just because it was on a handheld, which Mario Kart 8 is now, but as compared to when Mario Kart 8 came out.
Yeah.
What do you consider worse about it, out of curiosity?
I don't think it handles as well as 8.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'd have to.
If bringing character assortment, Mario Kart 7 was like, well, I forget exactly who's not in it, but I just have the memory of being like, wow, they really pared the shit back.
I don't remember what it is. I always play as like Koopa, so like the roster size has never been a problem. But yeah, and I actually remember, I think we talked about controls before, and the last time I played this game, in all fairness, was in a waking dream. Where I was playing it with an Xbox One controller as opposed to a circle pad, and that helps. And on an Xbox One controller, I do think it feels an awful lot like Mario Kart 8. So I think a lot like those control problems might be more due to the hardware than anything.
So
you should have just been using tilt controls.
Yeah. Let's see. Mario Kart 7. Who's not in it? Well, most of the babies. Birdo. Birdo's been gotten the short shift. She showed up in Wii and Double Dash.
Double Dash made sense. Everybody in Double Dash, everybody needed a partner.
No Bowser.
So Birdo was there for Yoshi. That's actually okay. You know why I don't like Mario Kart 64 is because Koopa wasn't in it. So yeah.
Koopa rules.
I just wanted to play as Koopa. He's in Double Dash twice, which makes Double Dash really good.
Yeah, he's not in DS. I'll point that out.
Wasn't Dry Bones in DS though?
Apparently he was planned for DS, according to this wiki.
What was Dry Bones in DS?
I think so.
Because I think that's who I used.
Bones has been historically been my boy when available. Yeah.
He's a viable substitute for Koopa.
Yeah, I played as him in Wii so much. Yeah, he's in DS and Wii, and then he showed up in 8 Deluxe.
Okay.
Wait, was he not in 8?
Maybe that's why you liked 8 Deluxe better and you didn't even realize. Was he like a DLC character?
I don't know. I feel like this might be.
Are you losing faith in the Mario Kart wiki?
Yes. Yes, I am.
Do we need a rank 7 outside of the top 3, or is it just we both accept that it's not in the top three?
I would say 7 would be 4th if we were as of now. I think it would be above Super Mario Kart for me.
That's fine.
All right, now we get to Mario Kart 8 and 8 Deluxe. We could just combine it into one thing.
Okay.
Is that beating out DS, Double Dash, or Wii?
No.
Yeah. It's weird because it's the complicated thing of because Wii and DS don't have online, I would probably put Mario Kart 8 higher than them. Now
that's but yeah that's
factoring
fair.
Like, them in for when they came out, I would put DS and Wii ahead of it,
but I still think like even if I'm just playing through Grand Prix, that's more fun in Mario Kart Wii than it is in Mario Kart 8 Deluxe.
Yeah,
8 is debatable because at least in 8 I'm unlocking Grand Prix.
Yeah,
like 8 Deluxe, you have to remember that like everything's unlocked when you start that game, so there's just no reason to play them.
Like I booted it up because I preloaded the booster course pack because I'll throw those on and try the new races and everything. And I just like played through a Grand Prix and like it was fine. It was fun.
Yeah. It's bad. It's just that it's like a 7.5.
I give it an 8.5. But otherwise, with the battle mode. Yeah. Yeah. Battle mode adds a point.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, it is that weird thing of like historically, I think I put DS, Double Dash, and Wii of their era. If we were looking at, I'm going to play a Mario Kart game right now, it'd be Mario Kart Tour. But if I were to play a second one, it would be 8 Deluxe.
Yeah, though I mean, the other interesting way to do this would be to take out the online components of every Mario Kart game to really put them on equal footing. Putting Tour solidly at the bottom.
Yeah. yeah, if we were to take out the online component, then I think DS would be number one, and then Wii.
Yeah,
Double Dash.
Yeah, I agree with that.
That would be my list, because the mission stuff is really that's what makes DS go from, like, I think DS, if you were to take the mission stuff away, would probably fall down my personal list.
Yeah. Why was that stuff tied to online for the Wii?
Probably
one?
Just
I don't remember.
Nintendo wants to try to get people to go online. So
yeah,
I think there was some idea of that, like, hey, a crap ton of people are going to buy Mario Kart. What if we tried to tie an element of it to getting people to go online?
Yeah,
because I don't know how often we see those numbers, but, like, you know what? There's 100 million Switches in the world. I guarantee you probably half of them have barely ever gone online.
Yeah.
Mario Kart Live Super Circuit or Mario Kart Live Home Circuit would not make the top three, even though I think it's a really cute game.
Apparently my nephews got that for Christmas and didn't tell me. I haven't played it. I need to go over there
fun.
And try it.
It's fun. Once again, that's gimmicky.
Yeah,
it's cute.
Well, that's,
but it's gimmicky.
I would argue that that's in the same category as the arcade games.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I can hear
we're
that.
We're just gonna pretend it doesn't exist for now.
So are we going to include Mario Kart Tour in this ranking? And is it number one?
So the only thing that makes me hesitant about including Mario Kart Tour is that I know I would have to knock off one of these games that's already in our top three.
Yeah.
And I like a lot of what Tour does. I'm trying to decide if I think it as a standalone, like, product is better than any of these three.
I think my thing with it, and this is going to be me, a rare moment of knocking down my boy Mario Kart Tour. I think DS, Double Dash, and Wii all control, like, infinitely better than Mario Kart Tour.
Well, yeah, I mean, Super Circuit controls better than Mario Kart Tour. Like, its weak point, is that
that was,
like,
the funny thing of playing Mario Kart 8 Deluxe is I had to, like, shake off the rust the donuts that I have been eating playing Mario Kart Tour.
Yeah, so it's something where, like, you put Mario Kart Tour's single player into Mario Kart 8 and that's the best Mario Kart.
Yeah, that is the best Mario Kart. Hopefully that is what Mario Kart 9 will be.
So, yeah, I mean, if you wanted to knock off Mario Kart Wii from the top three, then we could put Tour in there.
No, I think I want to leave Wii there.
And we could knock off Double Dash, but
I would allow for knocking off Double Dash to put Tour in the top three.
Oh, that feels dirty. I could do that, but, like, I wouldn't be super happy about it. But, like,
do we want to RNG it?
I don't have a strong argument for why it shouldn't knock off Double Dash, unless we want to do the whole thing of saying nobody has online. like, if you're making the list in perpetuity into the future, then Double Dash is
better. It's a top four, and we're including Tour, and DS is number one. We're done.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah, that's the thing we can all agree on, is that DS is the best Mario Kart.
But, man, Mario Kart Tour is great.
Mario Kart Tour is great. Man, I hope they learn lessons from that game.
And
do that.
We'll see. It's going to be like 2 years, because we're going to be having quarterly drops of eight Mario Kart, eight courses.
Well, and by the time we get to the end of this, like, DLC for Mario Kart 8, Tour will have come up with, like, 16 more courses.
Yeah, and 150
so we'll have to add
characters.
Those. Yeah. That's actually, that could be the next thing, is just the character DLC.
Just
every month they give you Funky Kong.
I'm kind of surprised that they're not doing that at all, but whatever.
They kind of, one, they did that originally for the Wii U version. That's how we got Link in there, which is still weird.
Yep. But, like,
we
I
got
mean,
F-Zero,
not even
but we never
all
got
of them.
Captain Falcon.
Yeah. Give me weird little Captain Falcon.
Yeah, best you can do is the amiibo.
Yeah. What they should do is they should just make a new F-Zero. I want Yakuza Captain Falcon. Let's go.
Yeah, well, that's okay. So if they make a new F-Zero, I only want them to make it if they're gonna go. Like, I know there have been other F-Zeros since the GameCube, but if they're gonna make a new one, I need it to be the batshit step up from F-Zero GX. Like, I don't want to go back to F-Zero X after I've tasted just like insane Captain Falcon goes to hell to fight Satan for the F-Zero Grand Prix. Like, you can't just go back to like, okay, they're racing. Like, no, we've seen things and those things are still with us. And we need to address that. I need the next F-Zero game to not even have racing. It's just Captain Falcon lying on a couch talking to his therapist about the things he's gone through.
It's also, I mean, this has been my vision of Yakuza Captain F-Zero, Yakuza Captain Falcon, whatever the hell you want to call it. It's just that, like, you're in Mute City. Maybe it's connected to, what is Port Town? Is that a place in F-Zero? I don't know.
Yeah, it's a place.
But, like, maybe there's a couple that are connected, and, like, it is, like, you do stuff. Maybe you are, like, you're Doug Falcon.
Yes. Famous racer.
And you're just trying to, like, you know, keep your shit together, make sure you don't lose your house or whatever, and you wind up doing Yakuza crap. But then it's also, like, periodically, it's like, all right, we got to do this race. So that you just go on races, that it's like you race around Mute City, or you race to get from, you know, one city to another or something like that. I feel like you can do that like batshit insane Yakuza vibe and also have F-Zero racing. This game is never gonna get made.
I just don't know if they would do that. Yeah,
they won't.
Well, with that bummer of an ending, I think we'll call it an episode.
Yeah,
thank you.
Sounds good.
Thanks for listening. If you're listening to this somewhere where podcasts can be reviewed, you could do that. That'd be nice of you. You could share it with a friend. You could send us your top three or top four Mario Kart games. You can tell us why we're wrong for liking Tour and why Mario Kart 8 doesn't need saving. What else do we got? Oh, you can follow us on Twitter at ConnectivityNWR. You can email us at connectivity@nintendoworldreport.com. I think that's all the things. Neil, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
And to everyone else, good afternoon. Bye.
Or evening. Or morning.
Afternoon. Bye. If you listen to this in the evening, you messed up.
Yeah, don't.